In the instructions this morning, I wanted to just offer some principles and guidelines that can really help us to settle more deeply into our meditation practice. And I wanted to use a teaching that I absolutely love and has got a kind of life of its own these days. So it started off as the teaching of rain, and then with some colleagues at the Oxford Mindfulness Centre, they've added a G at the front, so it becomes grain. So if you've heard the rain teaching and you think, oh, that sounds familiar. It's also gone through different versions from Michelle McDonald and Tara Brach and others. So I'm going to draw on all of these influences. But I find this a very helpful framework for thinking around what we're doing in our meditation practice, and also how to be with our experience if things are around that feel more difficult, more challenging to be with, that this grain teaching is really, really helpful. So the G stands for grounding. We can think a lot of what we're doing in our practice to begin with is grounding. So both Zohar and I have spoken about this, haven't we? Allowing the attention to come down into the body, to come down into the legs, down into the feet, to feel the seat. And my sense of this is when we do this, it's like having a very firm and stable base. Very firm and stable base. And if you think about an object with a low center of gravity or an object with a very heavy base, you can't push it over very easily. Yeah? You sort of push it and it might wobble a little bit, but it comes back because it has that sense of a base. Or if you think of a tree with its roots really deep down into the earth, you know, the more deep-rooted the tree is, again, the more it can be with the changing weather patterns. And the tree moves in the wind, of course. It's not totally inflexible. But within that flexibility, there's a real strength and steadiness as the roots go really deep. So that sense of being grounded can come up in different ways. And one way it's about establishing a posture where we really feel that sense of a base. So as you can see, as I'm sitting now, you know, I have the seat and I have the two knees. So this creates a kind of tripod, which are very, very stable things. For those of you on a chair, you know, to really feel these are representing my feet now, by the way, the soles of your feet really firmly on the ground. You're really feeling that connection. You feel planted. And it's extraordinary, actually, this link between our bodies and our minds, that as soon as you begin to take up this posture of being steady, stable, dignified posture, it can really help us to be with the changing weather patterns on an inner level, you know, the different patterns of anxiety or irritation or excitement or sadness and all the different things that move through. But there's a feeling of, yeah, I'm steady in the midst of this, stable in the midst of this. And to support the grounding and the posture on this retreat, I mean, do feel free at times to move between postures. If you're sitting for longer than you're used to, then actually to move at times between the chair, at times between coming back to the floor can be very helpful to do that. Really, really taking care of yourself. There is also a wise balance to be found in terms of how we deal with the more difficult sensations that come up in the body when we meditate. And one principle I've found really useful is that you stay with the difficult sensations for a while. You come back to them perhaps two or three times. So as I'm sitting here now, I can feel a little bit of kind of pressure on my ankle as I sit there. So the first two or three times you really notice that, you can come back, you can explore that with your attention. Sometimes we can use the breath to breathe into those areas. You can feel or imagine that you can send the breath to those places and soften around them. And what this does, again, helps us to be with those more difficult sensations in a different way as we stay steady. But if you find having done that a few times and over a period of time, that's really calling again and there's a perhaps more sharper pains in that part of the body, it is okay to mindfully move the posture. But the guidance I would give there is to really see that as being part of the practice. Part of the practice. It's not something that's getting in my way. So if my hands were like this, and after a while I really felt, yeah, that's going to really support me to make a shift. That there's a choice. So it's not a kind of automatic movement, but you can make a choice. And you can be with the process, and being with it, noticing how it feels, noticing how the sensations shift, feeling a sense of relief, feeling the touch in the new posture. Yeah. So moving is not our first option for dealing with difficult sensations in the body, responding to them. But it can be something that can be there. But if we really just include it really slowly, gently, as part of our practice. But grounding in the body is so significant. Grounding is so significant. We can feel so often that our attention is just drawn upwards. If you have that feeling. And sometimes when I bring my attention down into my legs and feet, it can almost feel as if the attention is like a little coiled spring. So it's in the legs for a little bit and then springs back into the thoughts and the preoccupations and things. So you can really notice that, you know, that's what our minds can do. And so it's just this gentle shift to this sense of grounding down in the body. And it's helpful also to be aware of the particular parts of the body that can be a kind of refuge. And talking about the feet, the seat, we can also at times use the hands. And you may notice, particularly if you're feeling a little more stirred up or there feels like there's a lot happening, often that can feel like it's around the belly and the chest and the throat, and this part feels kind of more activated, you could say. So then actually to feel something really earthy, like the sitting bones. Here they are, steady. You may sense that right now as I'm speaking. Or to feel the legs or the feet on the ground. It's like there's an earthiness, a steadiness there that can be really supportive. It's useful also to be flexible about where you can ground the attention. So for some people, maybe the breath is not the most helpful place to ground attention. And as Zohar was mentioning, that we can also use sounds. We can open to sounds. So very often, you know, the meditation instructions are offered in terms of come back to the breath, return to the breathing. But no, actually, this is simply one skillful means we can use. It's not the only one by a long way. So we can feel these contact points. We can come back to the sound. Sometimes as well, I've done this on retreat sometimes, that can be skillful is to open the eyes as a way of grounding attention. Again, this is not necessarily the first thing I would do, but there's actually a lot of insight that can come from this. Sometimes we're here with closed eyes and it feels like there's an enormous drama going on inwardly and it's like, oh, I need to sort out this or I've noticed that pattern or how do I overcome this? And it's almost as if we've forgotten that we're at Gaia House. We've lost a sense of where we are. And in those moments, you know, if you open the eyes and just, okay, I'm here. Can it be okay to be here? Actually, this is all right. I'm just sitting still. Just in this room, in this place. These people are okay around me. It's all right. You can see the sun reflected on the wall. But all of these things, you see, shifting to the body, shifting to the breath, the sounds, they begin to open us up from being lost in a kind of dreamlike world. You know, when all the attention is drawn into thoughts and stories and memories and plans, it's like there's a kind of waking dream, it can feel like. So these feelings of, grounding attention in the body or with the sounds or at times even opening eyes can be really skillful. So as we do that, that then leads to this next stage, which is to recognize what's present. To recognize what's present. And there's a huge freedom in recognizing what's present, in that we're shifting from being simply governed by our thoughts and feelings and moods to being aware of them. We're shifting from being governed by our thoughts and feelings and moods to being aware of them. This is a huge difference. I spoke to somebody once who described making this kind of shift, and she was having really quite a hard time at that point in her life, and she said, I was doing my meditation and I noticed this thought. I have got nothing to look forward to. Nothing to look forward to. And then I was able to recognize, this is simply a thought. And she said it with a huge smile on her face. So this is actually the power of recognition. It makes a big difference, doesn't it, from kind of believing as a absolute fact in bold and underlined and in capitals, I have nothing to look forward to that place of recognition, there's some thought, it's a thought that's arisen. It's a difficult thought, you know, reflecting a painful state of mind, and it's a thought. It's not the fixed and final reality. So we're really doing this on retreat, this opportunity to recognize what in other contexts simply governs us. Can come up on retreat in all kinds of ways, really. You know, there might be a feeling can come up, I really wish I hadn't come here. This isn't what I wanted. This isn't what I need at the moment. And you can notice, this is a thought that's expressing a particular state of mind that's here right now. Recognize that. And the fascinating thing is, as you do this over the period of a retreat, you can realize just how many things you can notice. And so there may be times on this retreat where you feel, this feels heavy and difficult. There may be times when you feel you absolutely love this, you never want to do anything else. There may be times when it's very interesting, exciting, times when it feels more boring, times when you feel full of love and kindness, times when you feel quite irritated. This is the normal territory of a retreat, that all of these different things pass through. But our practice is helping us to make this shift from just believing all of those things that come and go to recognizing them. Yeah, recognizing them. It's a lot of freedom in that shift. Supported by the next of these stages, which is to allow. And it's very understandable that quite a lot of what we might notice as we sit in meditation, that we feel like we want to get rid of it. I came on here retreat many years ago, and I'd had a difficult time with one of the managers at my work at the time. And I'd written an email, they'd written an email, you know, the kind of thing. And I was here, and the story was sort of replaying itself in my mind. And I noticed quite a strong sense, oh, I'm in Devon now, I'm at Gaia House, and I just want to be here, I don't want to be thinking about that. And so there's this sort of feeling of wanting to push that away. When can I stop thinking about this so I can get on with my retreat? And so this is very understandable that we might habitually try to push away feeling tired or feeling preoccupied or feeling full, thoughts full of something. But this principle of allowing is actually pointing to the sense of making space for, making space for what's here, including the things that feel more difficult. And we notice in our practice that the very attempt to push away, to get rid of, can just add an extra layer of aversion to what might already be hard to be with, hard to bear. And so it can be a very helpful perspective, actually, that a lot of what we're doing in our practice is having some space to allow things to pass through. Yeah. So it's a different attitude, isn't it, than sort of jumping in and trying to manage and control and fix our experience, but noticing, giving space, breathing with. And so the breath can allow us to do this, really. Again, a lovely phrase that so many people say is helpful is to breathe in the midst of it, to breathe in the midst of it. So let's say today you find yourself replaying a conversation with somebody last week and the feelings of irritation. Again, it's not how do I get rid of that, but can I breathe with that? Breathe with how that feels in the body. Allow these thoughts to come and to go. So grounding, recognizing, allowing, and then in our practice too, the sense of investigating. The word I actually prefer for this, although it doesn't spell rain, so it's not so helpful, but it's actually just the word curiosity. Curiosity. And so this investigating or curiosity, it doesn't mean something intellectual or conceptual. So we're not trying to work things out by thinking about them. And this is really interesting because one of the things that our minds do habitually is to ruminate. I don't know if you know this word rumination, but it comes from cows and the idea that we chew things over again and again and again. And our minds, very often do this habitually. So this investigation is quite different from that kind of sort of ruminative thought. A ruminative thought is something like, oh, why do I feel like this again? I bet everyone else is not feeling like this. What is it about me that means I'm feeling like this? And I don't know if you can see me, but my posture's dropping as I think like that. You can feel it reflected in the body. But this curiosity, a significant aspect of it is really about how are things in the body. So the curiosity is more about the question how than the question why. Yeah? More about the question how than the question why. So how does it feel right now to feel this state of mind and body? Maybe what's happening in the throat? How's the chest? How's the belly? Anything in the hands? Sometimes there might be a gripping or grasping. And sometimes we can feel a bodily tension or a bodily holding underneath more difficult thoughts and feelings and moods, so we can really give attention to how this is in the body. And bringing a gentle curiosity to it. Again, this follows really neatly from the allowing. If you want to get rid of something, you're not very curious about it. You're just seeing it as a problem or a difficulty, as an obstacle. But actually, you can be curious about anything in your practice. It's a really lovely way of turning things around. If you feel very sleepy today, you can even have the thought, oh wow, it's an opportunity to really explore sleepiness. What does it feel like? already brings in some energy. And so although this investigation is very often to do with the body, sometimes also it can be helpful to shift the attention maybe to what we're believing in this moment. What am I believing right now? And without searching or coming up with complicated stories, but you can notice things. So again, with pain in the body, we might notice there's a pain in the body, and if we ask that question, what am I believing right now, we may also notice, I think this is going to last for 3 days. I think this is going to ruin my retreat. Or if we're feeling sleepy, there might be a belief, I think I'm believing that this means I'm no good as a meditator. So, yeah, we can be gently curious about the body. You can notice, again, whether there are these beliefs that are around. And then the N of rain or grain is actually used in two different ways depending on who you listen to. So I'm going to tell you both because I like them both. But Tara Brach, when she talks about this, talks about the N as nurturing. And nurturing really means bringing a warmth and kindness to our experience. And to me, this is a beautiful aspect of our practice, that many of us, perhaps all of us even, or definitely almost all of us, can have a habit of self-criticism when things are more difficult. I mean, again, I notice that in my own experience. Sometimes if I'm feeling tired, there may also be some kind of voice that comes from somewhere, oh, what have you got to feel tired about? Why are you so tired? It's like this voice kind of piles on something extra. You know? So you've got the tiredness, and then let's add a bit of self-criticism to it. So the nurturing is the opposite. It's really that feeling that we become in our practice good friends to ourselves. We bring friendliness to meet whatever's here. It's like, it's okay, yeah, you're feeling tired, of course, you've had a lot on, you're in a new place. It's okay, yeah. Or when that thought is still buzzing around the head for the 137th time about the thing that happened at work. Oh, it's okay. Yeah, it's difficult there at the moment. There's a lot of stress there that's not to do with me. It's to do with the context. It's okay. I'm sorry it's like that. Can you see that voice? It's like a nurturing voice rather than a critical voice. And we can access this feeling of nurturing in different ways. One way is to do it with touch. And again, sometimes people find it's helpful to place a hand on the heart. You know, this gesture of warmth, of care. A hand on the belly. We can find it with words, as I was suggesting. Again, if you've practiced the metta practices, you know, again, you can use phrases from that, even if it's not officially a metta practice. I'm not talking about going through all the stages, but may I be well in the midst of this. And again, at times people also use images, actually. It might be that you bring to mind a particular person. So, yeah, they might be a friend that you could see, just bringing them to mind. You can see them smiling at you. I'm thinking of my friend Paul now, who I used to teach here with. There's Paul. So again, you wouldn't necessarily use all of these at different times, but just offering some suggestions. Actually, there are many skillful means, really, of beginning to shift from that sort of stance of self-criticism to a stance of care. kindness, the path of love. And then the N refers to non-identification as well. That was the original meaning of it. So it's been changed to nurture, but we can also think of it as non-identifying. So just to very briefly say what this means is that we're beginning to take things much less personally. So it's not that all of these things begin to weave a grand story of me with a capital M. But the shift really then is to see our experience as patterns. So all of the different things that come and go, they're patterns that arise and pass in our experience. As we often say, they're like the weather. So maybe tiredness will pass through, maybe excitement will pass through, contentment. All of these different things come and go. But we can lessen the tendency little by little to see any of these things as defining me. And this is a huge relief, a huge freedom in doing that. So again, maybe you're feeling angry and irritated at some point of retreat. We take it personally. It's like, why am I such an angry person? Why am I always like that? Oh, I've done it again. The story of a self that's not good enough arises. So the non-identification is shifting. Oh, this is passing through. It's a normal human emotion that comes and goes. It's part of being human to feel angry from time to time. It's okay. This is here. It's not all of who I am. So grounding, recognizing, allowing, investigating, nurturing, non-identifying. You could see these really as, I'm going to put this on the board, by the way, so you can see them, but as things you can explore really throughout these days, you know, it gives a sense or a framework of what we're doing in our practice. So we're not just so lost in our thoughts and stories, but we're grounding in the body. We're not driven and governed by automatic thoughts and behaviors that come from unseen and unacknowledged emotions and thoughts. We're little by little letting go of the habit of resisting and fighting our own experience, and we're allowing, making space. Rather than drifting off, we're being curious, investigating what's happening. Meeting our experience with friendliness and care rather than criticism. And seeing it in the light, really, of this sense of the Buddha's teaching on not-self, that all this comes and goes. It's not me, it's not mine, this is not myself. And letting go of a limiting sense of who or what we are. And exploring a deeper freedom. So in a moment we'll practice together, but just taking a minute or so, if you wanted to move your legs to take care of the body, just if there's any stretch or movement that might be helpful for you. So when you feel ready, beginning to return to your posture. And getting what you need. So as you establish your posture and maybe put your blanket on, again, this is already that feeling of care, of nurturing, bringing some kindness to yourself, taking care of your needs. So finding your posture where as much as feels possible there's a balance of qualities, a balance of being upright and alert, and also a sense of ease. So gently exploring in your own experience that balance of qualities. As we do this, sometimes there can be an intention to bring in a little more alertness. At other times we notice, a little more ease needed in the moment. So it's like tuning a guitar string, finding a wise effort, upright, at ease. And as we settle in, perhaps letting two or three breaths just be a little deeper. And you may even notice there's a natural sigh for a couple of breaths. It can be a feeling of beginning to put down some tension that we didn't perhaps quite know was there. And taking time to notice how things are for you right now, the thoughts and the feelings that are here. Maybe in this moment things feel quite smooth and easy. Or maybe things feel more stirred up, things on your mind. Remembering that for all of us these different states, they come and they go. So as much as feels possible, beginning by simply noticing whatever's here. Attitude of giving it some space, letting it be. It can be a relief not to need to fix or change or alter, control our experience, but to notice, to be aware. And from there, allowing the attention to begin to come into the body and to move downwards. To move down into the legs and down into the feet. And sensing that downward movement of the awareness of the attention. Gently noticing, how does it feel right now for the legs or the feet to be in contact with the ground, connected with the earth? Direct physical sense, sensations of contact. And as you do that, maybe beginning to notice different sensations in the legs and the feet, twinges, tingles, temperature, sense of contact with the ground. Or maybe at the moment there are no sensations here. That's also something we can simply notice, be aware of. So feeling and sensing the ground beneath you. Maybe noticing that pull into thoughts and stories. Just noticing this natural tendency of the mind to be drawn in this way. It's okay. Just the mind doing its thing. And so there's this gentle shift to an embodied awareness, gentle shift downwards to the legs, to the feet, to the ground. And if it feels helpful, that image of the tree with its roots deep down into the earth, connected with the earth, rooted in the earth. And letting that sense of the ground be there gently in the background of awareness, and really noticing then the seat. Feeling this whole part of the body we can sense as the seat, the back of the legs, the buttocks, the sitting bones. Whole area of seat. And maybe noticing the earthy quality of the sitting bone. Steadying grounded quality of taking our seat here and now. So when we take our seat, this means physically to feel these sensations, and also symbolically we take our seat of awareness, of presence, of waking up. And then letting the sense of the seat be there in the background of awareness. And beginning to notice the hands. So how do the hands feel right now? Maybe they're in contact with each other, or with the legs, in the lap. Just opening to and sensing the sensations of contact. A gentle intention to allow the hands to be at ease, and nothing to grip or grasp, so the hands can be at ease, fingers and thumbs soft. And so at any point during the practice, feeling free to return to these points, to really ground the attention. Legs and the feet, the seat, the hands. And if it feels okay for you, with these contact points in the background of awareness, begin to allow the breath to be in the foreground, feeling and sensing how the body moves with the breathing, the in-breath and out-breath. So you may notice this in a particular area, maybe the chest or the belly, or perhaps a broader sense of the body breathing. Just letting the attention rest on the breath. So noticing those times when the attention is drawn away from the body or the breath and into a train of thought, preoccupations, worries, stories. And as much as feels possible, really letting in the sense, this is okay, it's okay. This is what our minds tend to do. And really letting in the feeling, that's okay. So we're not fighting our own minds, but instead a gentle intention to simply recognize this and to shift back to the body and the breath, to feel and sense the in-breath and out-breath. Or to come home to the ground, the seat, or the hands. So whatever's happening in our experience, there are these places to come home to. In the midst of it. So, on a retreat, we're really supported by an intention to be present and curious and aware that really runs through everything that we do on the retreat. And to have that kind of continuity really deepens our practice, deepens our experience of retreat. So it's a little bit of a different mindset to the one that we sometimes have in our lives. You know, I do something and then I have a break and then come back and do it again. And it's definitely a different mindset from seeing meditation as simply a kind of formal exercise that we do on a cushion. You know, we've been meditating and now we've stopped. But in some ways it's not so different, right? We've been meditating and now you're listening to me a bit. But we're still present in the body, present with the breath. So you start to feel that this curious, interested presence, warm presence, flows through. So this is really why we have the kind of schedule that we have, moving from sitting to walking to sitting to walking. It's really encouraging a continuity of awareness throughout the whole day. And so I'll say a little more about the walking practice. Sure. Show you. Okay. So yeah, you begin by finding a path, and you know, maybe 10 to 15 paces or something like that. I like to really pause at the beginning of the path, really establishing the intention. My knees are soft, you know, so letting the arms be at ease. And I can just sense those feet on the floor and what that's like. I have some awareness too of the sounds coming and going. You may even wish to just very gently shift from right to left, from left to right like that. Just that shift of weight begins to bring the attention down. And then when you feel ready, you can begin to walk. And the main focus of attention here is the soles of the feet on the ground. That's the particular anchor we can use. And then you come to the end of your path, and again you can really pause. Feeling the breathing, sensing the feet on the floor. And turn. And yeah, and then continuing to walk. You can have your hands in different ways, actually. I mean, you can also have your hands in front of you, if that feels supportive. And you can find different paces as well that feel helpful. So sometimes people do this very, very slowly. You know, really aware of the lifting and the placing and the lifting and the moving and the placing. So you can do it at a very slow speed. You can do it at a more normal walking pace if you would like. So there isn't particularly a right or wrong around that, and what I would say is actually be interested to see what it's like to do that in different ways at different times. One of my friends said that the helpful pace is the pace that most supports connection. Yeah, and sometimes going a little more quickly can do that, particularly if we're feeling a bit sleepy or drowsy, perhaps to walk a little more quickly. I would strongly invite and encourage you to do it outside, actually. And we're really lucky today. The sky is really bright. And there's something, if you haven't taken this in already. I think there's something very special about this place, actually, and to be around the, you know, the trees, to be outside with the wildlife and everything. So you can also have a feeling that you're soaking that in. That makes sense. So when I say to be aware of the feet, it's not like an exclusive attention that I'm aware of that and nothing else. Now that can be in the foreground, but there's just a sense of, oh, I'm also in this beautiful place. I can be nourished by being here. Yeah. And you can, again, sometimes people, yeah, this may or may, like everything we say, it may or may not be helpful. But I like the idea of being open to enjoying the walking. Yeah. Again, you can think about what's the perspective you bring to it. You know, is it some medicine I've got to do because somebody says it's good for me and I've got to walk up and down? Or actually, what's it like to bring that kind of perspective to it? What's it like to just enjoy this simple process of walking and walking to simply walk? Because it's delightfully useless in our ordinary way of thinking. Yeah, delightfully useless. We end up where we started. So it really is cutting through that kind of in order to mentality. I don't know if you've, when I used to work in the college, people, the objective was to get home as quickly as possible. 20 minutes was definitely better than 25. So walking or being in the car or whatever, we could see moving as, I've got to be from A to B as quickly as possible. This is the opposite. Can we be with the process? Can we explore the process? Can we be interested in the process? I think Thich Nhat Hanh says the real miracle is not to walk on water, but to walk on the earth. Yeah, that real presence. So I have time for some walking now. And again, the bell will go in good time. Bell will go 7 minutes before to invite you back here. So time for some walking. And we will see you at 11:15. All right. Go well.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.